Argue, argue, talk, 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 exaggerate, argue, pontificate, argue, just talk, shut talk, up. Talk, why won't you listen? Argue, why shut, won't you talk, see? I know the story, just listen to me.
You're better off when you're spouting off. And now, here's your host, Karen Cataline.
You could be down in the dumps, but when you hear Bizet's Carmen, or when I hear Bizet's Carmen, I know not only is it ready for spouting off, but it's like a shot in the arm. Not a vaccine shot in the arm, but just a shot in the arm, an actual voluntary shot in the arm. Welcome to Spouting Off. Boy, it's great to be home on my home show. If you've been following my website, Facebook, Twitter, and all that loveliness, you'll know that I've been doing a lot of talk radio. Pleasure to do Main Street Radio Network and fill in for Alan Nathan quite a lot this week. Did two shows for him out of five, and it's great to be a part of that team. I love being a part of the team. I don't know what's going to happen. We might have an announcement to make here shortly, but not shortly. I don't know when it's going to happen. These days, you don't know what's going to happen next hour, really. But the Keith Hansen show, I've enjoyed filling in for him as well. Welcome to the K-Star Radio Network. We're debuting a new little commercial for them. We're glad that K-Star Radio Network listeners are listening live right now. Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern, noon Mountain, and welcome no matter where you are. That show gets repeated, and you can get a little taste of what the show's all about. It's not repeated, it's being broadcast. That's what it is. But you know, there are savvy listeners out there who know whether they're listening to something live or on tape. So the show is repeated Saturdays, 9 a.m. and Sundays at noon. And I'm honored and thrilled to be part of the K-Star Radio Network as well. So we have a very busy show. We have two guests planned, but we have open lines and I get to spout off in this first segment. So in the first 15 minutes, if you'd like to join in, if you'd like to spout off, because that's what it's about, all you got to do is call 888-627-6008. The more calls we get, the more time that I'll plan for call-ins, because I love that. I love when people call in and participate or just like to argue. So here's what's on my mind, and there is so much on my mind these days, and I'll bet there is for you too. So let's see. I'm going to connect these two things as best I can. Did I give you the number? 888-627-6008. So this week, Brandon Straka, the originator of Walkaway, the Walkaway movement, refused to wear a mask on American Airlines. Oddly enough, they kicked him off one flight and they put him on another flight on American Airlines. It's interesting that journalism these days leaves out the important information like, well, did he roll over? Did he bow down? Did he say, yeah, I'll wear a mask? Or did they just fly him on another flight so they could claim victory? Either way, they then said Brandon Straka will not be allowed on American Airlines until the mask rule is lifted, and that could be never, as far as I can tell. Meanwhile, as you know, this is the day before the big Trump rally in Tulsa, where over a million people have signed up for a rally that can only hold 20,000 people. Now they're talking about a rally outside of the arena, where a whole lot more people will be able to watch. Isn't it fascinating? It shouldn't surprise anyone that suddenly, once again, we have, oh no, the coronavirus, the coronavirus, the coronavirus, and oh, Donald Trump, he's going to make people sick. Now, they never did that, as you well know. You know where I'm going with this. It doesn't take a genius to figure this out. They didn't do any of that while there was rioting, pillaging of our biggest cities, murdering innocent people, looting stores, Manhattan and elsewhere. Suddenly, the coronavirus was nowhere to be seen. They really do play us for fools. I'm sorry to say that there really are fools in the world, but listeners of this program and conservatives in general usually aren't. Well, you know, even that is a broad generalization that I don't think I should make. Nonetheless, there are still fools in the world who are buying into the excuse of coronavirus to rob us of our freedoms, to rob us of our God-given rights. And then when you kick up a fuss and you say no, they say, well, don't you understand? It's a health hazard. It's a virus. Of course, everybody knows at this point, and only people who are claiming that the emperor is wearing fine linen and beautiful clothes tend to ignore the fact that the CDC now, first CDC said the mortality rate was 0.4%. Now they're saying 0.2%. And still, when you go to the grocery store, you see people wearing masks. I went to the bank the other day and I saw a plastic panel in between me and the banker and a mask. Pretty soon they'll be wearing you know, the kind of uniforms, shields, whatever they're called, that were done in ET with full garb. I don't even know what you call that. Hazmat suits. Thank you. Don't you love it when your producer's actually listening to what you say? Sometimes they don't, you know. Hazmat suits. I love when he does that. Anyway, so here's my point, and I only have a few minutes to make it because I really am excited about both of these guests. And here it is. So at the rally tomorrow, and I'm going to be watching, I'm going to be jazzed, I'm going to be there with bells on. I don't even know what time it is, but I'll find out. Here's what they say. The mayor is doing all kinds of restrictions, and he is a Republican. I looked. The Tulsa mayor is going to set a curfew for the weekend rally, and it looks like the RNC themselves, the Trump campaign, said Thursday that it takes safety seriously, noting that organizers are providing masks, hand sanitizers, and here's the kicker, temperature checks for all attendees. I'm sorry. You know, I don't go out of my way to criticize Donald Trump because I figure, you know, when there's only one person between you and certain tyranny, and I've written that in my latest piece, which I hope to have time to tell you about, then I don't go out of my way to say, oh, he should have done it this way and he should have done it that way. But if you're conceding the point already that this virus is deadly, when we know it has a 0.2% mortality rate, and those who are most vulnerable, we should help them and encourage them not to go into public places where they can get sick. But the fact of the matter is, it's summertime, and I'm sorry, it is not the threat that people are making it out to be. But boy, oh boy, cui bono, who benefits? The left, the socialist, the progressive agenda is certainly getting all that it wants, which is to get people to roll over and bow down. Not only are people bowing down to Black Lives Matter, and we have a spectacular Black author at the bottom of the hour who wrote a terrific book called The Triangle. Can't wait to talk to him. Because I have a very soft spot in my heart for Black conservatives. They have courage. They're expected to believe something and to parrot something. And you even heard somebody say on the left, if you are not a Black voice, we don't want you. If you're not a voice for Blacks, then your voice doesn't matter. I mean, what does that mean? It means socialism, communism, folks. That's what it means. Here's what's bugging me. The temperature checks at Trump rallies. That bothers me. If I had a ticket and I was told that I had to have my temperature checked and have a proctology exam in order to exercise my rights of freedom of assembly, and I'm a grown adult. I don't want my government taking my temperature. Not unless this were the bubonic plague. This is not, I repeat, not the bubonic plague. So it bothers me. Now look at the difference between Brandon Straka, who had the guts and the courage to say, I ain't wearing a mask. Take me off the plane if you want to. And what it's very bothersome when we concede points that we shouldn't concede. Now, if I had more time, and I still have time to take your call, if you want to call in, my question to you is, am I being nitpicky? Do you think I'm, barking up the wrong tree, drawing the line in the sand in the wrong place? Personally, I don't think so at all, because I think the mask is the absolute line in the sand that it should be. Why? Because you're conceding a point without ever being told, without the people making these demands upon you ever having to acknowledge that they're lying to you. In the state of Colorado, not once, not ever, not once has our leftist governor ever said, we have a 0.2% mortality rate. And by the way, half, almost half of those deaths were in nursing homes. And by the way, Democrats were most often the people that are responsible for the larger number of deaths in nursing homes, because like Cuomo in New York, he sent COVID positive people into the most vulnerable population. And these are the people we're supposed to listen to. These are the people we are supposed to bow down to and bow and scrape to, or say, yes, yes, we concede. So there's a lot of bowing and scraping going on in this stunning alternate reality known as 2020. Not only are people being told that they should admit to being guilty to something they didn't do, they're guilty of what their ancestors may or may not have done, and most of them didn't. We're being asked to accept things and bow down to a government and government officials that have no standing and no moral standing in order to tell us what to do. So that's kind of what is bugging me today. I think we'll have a chance, in fact, I know we will, to talk to our second guest, Vince Everett Ellison, about his book. It's called The Iron Triangle, get this, Inside the Liberal Democrat Plan, long subtitle. The Iron Triangle, Inside the Liberal Democrat Plan to Use Race to Divide Christians in America in Their Quest for Power and how We Can Defeat Them. I mean, that is a long title. I'm most interested in how we can defeat them. That's where I'm coming from, and I hope you are too. We are being asked to stand up for what we believe in when it really counts, when it really matters, and when it isn't so easy. I hope in future shows to have experts on Bolshevism, because we're seeing that, and a lot of us have the luxury of having lived in a free country. We don't know what it's about, but I know people who have lived under Soviet socialism, and it ain't fun, and I don't want to be doing it. When we come back, we're going to have our first guest, Carlin Borsenko. I cannot wait to talk to her, and we're going to have her for a short stint today, and we may have a longer one next week. We'll see. Karen Cataline, you're listening to Spouting Off. Don't go away. We have a lot more right after this.
Looking for even more great conservative talk radio? The K-Star Talk Radio Network is a Christian-owned, alternative conservative news and talk radio internet broadcasting network. They have a full line of programming about spiritual, political, social, economic, financial, and health-related topics. And their goal is to encourage critical thinking about the issues of the day. The K-Star Talk Radio Network features great shows like America's First News, The Keith Hansen Show, Erskine, and Spouting Off with Karen Cataleen. Check out the whole schedule at their website at kstarradionetwork.com. Time could be short for a free people to share ideas in a free society. K-Star Radio Network is fighting a spiritual war on an earthly plane. Visit them today at kstarradionetwork.com.
And welcome back to Spouting Off. I am delighted to have, I have never spoken with her, but she graciously agreed to join us here on Spouting Off, Dr. Carlin Borsenko. Let me just tell you a little bit about her. She's on the line right now. She's an organizational psychologist, keynote speaker, executive coach, and a Forbes contributor. She became an accidental political commentator when an article she wrote about attending a Trump rally and calling for an end to the political divisiveness went massively viral, garnering 3 million views in less than a week. Wow. I want her to teach me how to do that. She's been featured on Fox News, Glenn Beck, Dennis Prager, The Rubin Report, Harvard Business Review, and NPR, among others. Welcome to Spouting Off, Carlin Borsenko.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, it's great to have you. I love your picture. You look kind of alternative. Can I say that?
Yeah, I mean, I think you could say that. I have like a shaved head with hair, long hair on top. So a lot of people tell me, a lot of people on the right tell me I have an SJW haircut and I need to change it. But no, I'm good with my hair. I like my hair.
Well, you know what? It is well within conservative views, and I don't even know all of your views even close, to let people do their own thing. Years ago, and I think I'm a fair bit older than you, in the 60s, when I was sort of coming of age, I was actually a pre-adolescent in the 60s. The do-your-own-thing was a liberal thing. That's what liberals said. Do your own thing. Don't worry if anybody else. Of course, my favorite Gandhi quote, which is, even if you're a minority of one, the truth is still the truth. Now we have collectivism in which you are shot down literally or figuratively if you don't toe the political line.
Yep, that's very true.
Yeah. So before I get into this, actually, what we're going to do, we're going to talk about your piece, and I'm going to have you on next week. This is a shorter stint because I've never talked to you before, but when I saw that you wrote a piece about the cult of liberalism, I mean, that's what I call it, the cult of liberalism. We're going to get into that in great detail next week. So I want everybody to tune in because I don't want to give it all away, you know. But I want you, if you would, to tell us a little bit about your political coming of age. It sounds like an interesting story. Like, where'd you start out and where are you now? And then we could even talk about this viral video that you had. I'm interested in that as well.
Yeah, sure. So my political story, really, I joined the Democratic Party when I was 18 years old back in the 1990s. And, you know, I'll kind of for the precisely the reasons you said, it was at that time that I perceived that the right wanted to tell me what to do. They wanted to tell me what I could say and what clothes I could wear, what music I could listen to. And they were trying to legislate their religious values. And I was not on board with that. And so I joined the Democratic Party and, quite frankly, never really thought much of it. Up until about probably about a year ago, honestly, I started questioning, had the Democratic Party changed from the values that I had held dear to these new kind of crazy collectivist values that I just didn't recognize anymore? And so I started really, up until that point, I had lived in an echo chamber. I was really only listening to people who agreed with me, and I started kind of pushing outside my echo chamber and listening to different voices, and eventually ended up going to the Trump rally, which is the article that I wrote that went viral. I did that the day before the New Hampshire primary in New Hampshire and decided to leave the Democratic Party shortly after it. And now I sit squarely in the middle. I still do lean left, but there are things that I can agree on with people on the right.
I love that because that gives us an opportunity to do a lot more discussion. Being a very non-traditional conservative myself, my listeners know that I tend to refer to myself as putting the Judeo in Judeo-Christian. I'm a nice Jewish girl who isn't always so nice. And and I was a social worker. I went to Columbia School of Social Work. I lived in New York, although I was born in Denver. And let's see, what's the other thing? Social work, Jewish, and female. So all of those things, you would think that I would be your basic liberal, but I'm not, because I've always marched to my own drummer. And I don't have a problem disagreeing with conservatives or liberals. But in this case, I'm seeing something truly sinister going on. And so I want to talk to you about that. Let me ask you about this video that you made. End to the political divisiveness. Forgive me for not having seen that. Tell us what the gist of that was.
Well, I mean, the gist of my position is that we as a country are so politically divided. And I think that I hesitate to use the word collective, but I'm going to, because I'm going to talk about a large group of people. As a collective unit, as people who are Americans, we really have a choice to make. Are we going to come together? Or are we going to continue to push further apart? And everyone has to be involved in that decision to come together. It has to come from both sides. Otherwise, we're just going to keep butting heads and we're just going to keep pushing each other apart. And sadly, I mean, especially in the last several weeks, I've seen a nice big chasm open between the two sides that already had a big chasm in between it anyway. And so it doesn't seem like we're going to be coming together anytime soon.
So, Carlin, you're just fascinating. I love this. You could be my political foil in a lot of ways. Now, have you done clinical work in mental health? Because you have a doctorate.
I have a PhD in psychology, but I'm an organizational psychologist. So it's a little bit of a different setting. I work within businesses to help create positive work environments. I do coaching, but I do not do counseling. So I do not work in a clinic.
Yeah, Carlin, that's so cool, because before I decided to go to social work school and get my master's, I was extremely interested in organizational psychology. And you know, what you do there is quite interesting. My question, and I'm sure you have, you know, great psych sensibilities in general, is that if you have someone before you, and I did do clinical work, who is being bullied by somebody, and being told that either you do it this way or you're going to be sorry. How do you come together with that? If you're being given an ultimatum, if you see that the other side is doing things that are blatantly against the Constitution, against our God-given rights, however you perceive God to be, and what this country was founded upon, how can you then come together in what you're talking about? What concerns me is when you say, you know, political divisiveness, that creates kind of a moral equivalence, doesn't it?
Well, Karen, I'll give you another fun fact about me. I actually wrote my PhD dissertation on workplace bullying. And so I have studied workplace bullying very, very extensively. And so my answer is that every single relationship that you are in, you are responsible for 50% of it. Every single person. And it does not matter who is the aggressor, because in this case, and I have a fair bit of experience with people on the right now, and I've actually been taking them to task for it lately, people on the right do not stand up and express their values. They do not stand up and defend themselves. And so it makes it very, very
easy.
You're
not going to get an argument from me.
Exactly. Well, but that just sets up a scenario, right, where someone on the left who is expressing their values, who is standing up and saying, this is the way it should be, you have someone on the other end who's just kind of saying, oh, I don't want to get in trouble, so I'm not going to open my mouth and push back on this.
I don't want anybody to call me a racist.
Well, exactly. And, you know, I actually have a series of conversations with a psychotherapist, Dr. Howard Asher, on my YouTube channel. And what he always says is people have to get over their fear of being called a racist. That's critical to this whole thing, because that's a card that the left is going to keep pulling. And if people are constantly cowering in fear of being called a racist, then there's simply no fighting it, right? But if you know yourself, if you know that you are a good person, if you know that you do not treat people differently because of their race, I mean, listen, at the end of the day, the left is counting on the fact that you don't want to be called a racist. And really, if you were actually a racist, you wouldn't be offended by the insult. The only people offended by the insult are people who are not racist.
Yeah. And that's kind of the catch 22. See, I expected to disagree with you, but I agree with you 100%. I could not agree more. You get what you put in your life in relationships when you put it that way. And if you're getting bullied and thrown around, pushed around, being told to bow down, maybe it's because you don't have the courage to stand up. And you will never get an argument about that from me. So bravo you. I love it. What else do you want to tell us to whet our appetite about? Because I'm going to have you on next week, and we're going to talk about this, because I wrote, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago, I wrote a piece called The Cult of Liberalism. And I've been fascinated by cults for a very long time and what makes people join them, how you get people out of them. I've studied Scientology, not from the inside, but I've studied how they get people into Scientology and what an evil cult it really is. And there are many. And there are so many similarities between the cult of liberalism and the things that you can observe from most, well, many, many other cults. So we're going to talk about that next week. I'll have you on next week, and you've already graciously agreed to come on. I'm so excited. What else do you want to tell us in our last couple of minutes? And then we'll give you a minute to tell everybody how to find you and to watch your very popular YouTube channel.
Yeah, so I think that I would not call it the cult of liberalism, because I'm a liberal. I will not let go of that name. I won't. I've been a liberal since I was 18. But it's the cult of social justice, because there are a lot of liberals that do not buy into the social justice ideology. That's really what we're talking about. And I am deadly serious when I say that it is a cult. It is a cult just like Scientology. Mm-hmm. And how cults sometimes get people to come into them is they start off with good things. Right? It starts off with like little nuggets of goodness. So on the left, people get sucked into this stuff because they are convinced that they need to be in it to be a good person. Well, that's not true. And it's based on a mountain of lies that the media has sold them. And I think the key to moving past this as a collective is the right has got to start showing up, and it's got to start expressing their points of view, because the more that people... Listen, people on the left do not understand how many conservatives they know. They don't understand it, because conservatives don't say it. And the minute they start
They're being bullied.
Exactly. Yes. But the minute they start showing you, like, I am not a different person from the person you think I am just because I want to vote for Donald Trump or because I don't agree with this or whatever it happens to be. But people have to, we have to start humanizing the people on the right. And that's going to be the key to all of this.
Carlin, you are great. I cannot wait to talk to you about this next week. We only have less than a minute, so tell everybody how they can watch your video, your YouTube channel, and how they can connect with you.
The easiest thing to do is go to drcarlin.com. That's drcarlin.com. And that has links to all of my social media and my YouTube. And so you'll find all the videos there.
That is great. Can't wait to talk to you next week. Let's promote the show so we can get some more listeners here talking to you, Carlin and Karen. Here we go. Okay. Thanks
Thank
so
you, Karen.
Much for joining us, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right. Bye.
Great. Bye. When we come back, we're going to have Everett Ellison with us, an author, and you're not going to want to miss this. Karen Cataline, you're listening to Spouting Off. We will be right back after this.
Do you have a secret that's been bothering you? Have you been wondering if what you're thinking or feeling is normal? Is there someone with whom you've needed to clear the air, but you haven't been able to find the right words? Sometimes you need an objective, second opinion to help you see your problem more clearly. Ask Aunt Emma, and she'll help you move past what's getting in your way. She's a former therapist who is wise and caring, but instead of therapy, she'll give you terrific advice. It's free to ask Aunt Emma and explain your need, problem, or question. If you both agree, you pay only $1.39 a minute. It's anonymous, It's confidential, and you'll be surprised at how effective it is. You can ask Aunt Emma by going to facebook.com/AskAuntEmma. There, you'll find her phone number and extension number. That's facebook.com/AskAuntEmma. Ask Aunt Emma today.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Love that goofy music. This is Karen Cataline indeed. And we have our next guest on the line. Let me just tell you very quickly my latest longer-term article. You're going to find a whole lot more activity going on at KarenCataline.com. But my latest article is Ennobling Insurgents and Demonizing Those Who Try to Stop Them. Snarkier piece than I usually write, and people are really responding. So I guess I'm going to have to allow my snark to come out more. I intend to do that. I am delighted to have with us Vince Everett Ellison. He is an author, and we're going to let him tell us a little more about his bio. But he's the author of a book called The Iron Triangle, Inside the Liberal Democrat Plan to Use Race to Divide Christians and America in the Quest for Power and How We Can Defeat Them. Boy, that's taken on a lot. Welcome to Spouting Off, Vince Everett Ellison.
Hey, I'm happy to be with you. Thanks for having me.
It is great to have you, too. Tell us a little more about your background so we know a little bit about where you're in Virginia, right?
Well, I live in Virginia now, but I was born on a cotton plantation in Haywood County, Tennessee.
Wow.
And my father was a sharecropper. And Haywood County is about maybe 60 miles from Memphis where Martin Luther King Jr. was shot. So, I was living in the Jim Crow South. I know the Jim Crow way of life. I know all about it because I was born there. It's not a myth to me. It's where I lived. And my father pulled us out of poverty by getting in the insurance industry. He worked hard. And we lived a middle-class life after I was about 10 years old. And we started a gospel singing group called the Ellison Family. We sung in hundreds of black churches all around the South. I went to college at the University of Memphis. And after that, I started working in the prison system. I worked. I went to South Carolina, and I worked in the Kirkland Correctional Institution for about 5 years as a maximum security prison. And that's when I saw that we had not overcome, there were still a lot of problems in the black community. And I started asking questions, you know, what had happened. And, of course, the black intelligentsia told me that it was those evil, rich, white Republicans, and that they were trying to destroy black people. And I said, well, man, I'm going to get those guys. So I resigned my post in the prison system and started a nonprofit organization to try to keep people from going to prison as opposed to putting them in jail. As a matter of fact, I helped organize a million-man march in South Carolina with the Nation of Islam back in 1996, so how deep I was. But
Wait, slow down. I got to hear this. Vince, you organized the million-man march with Islam? What was that?
Oh, yeah. I was... I have the plaque in my book, a picture of the plaque they gave me for my tireless effort in organizing the march. And I thought the march was going to be a revolt against black political establishment. Instead, they wanted to really just get involved in it. So I broke away from working with the Nation of Islam the same year. And I understood something after that. I understood that the problem that we had was not rich white Republicans, because I never saw them in the black community. What I did see was this iron triangle, and it consisted of most black preachers, most black civic organizers, and most black politicians. I called them the iron triangle because they are choking the life out of black America and America. And they are paid by rich white liberals from New York City and from California, and their job solely is to make sure that 90% of the black people vote for the Democrat Party by hook or crook. They don't care how it's done. They need to have it done. And they are paid handsomely by the liberals to make sure this is done, and they do it very, very, very well.
Unbelievable. What a fascinating way of looking at this. So among the many reasons that Donald Trump is such a threat to the left, that they're going for broke now, going for the giant lies that, you know, rioters are victims and law-abiding citizens ought to be kept in their house. It sounds as if the other thing that they're threatened by is that Donald Trump stood, and God willing, he still will, to get 40% or more of the black vote. That had to terrify him, didn't it?
Well, so they see Donald Trump as an abolitionist on a slave plantation. That's how they see it.
Well put.
Donald Trump is talking about school choice. See, how are you going to keep miseducating the population if Donald Trump's giving them knowledge and they free themselves? Donald Trump is talking about giving them, we're going to stop violating your right to keep and bear arms to defend yourself. They are being oppressed and they're not being served. They are being occupied. And the first thing you do when you occupy people is that you take away their right to defend themselves. Now, the black community says we're being hunted. They said that the gangs and things are killing them and shooting them. You see what's going on in Chicago and LA and Detroit every day. And what is the Democrat plan? The Democrat plan is to take the guns from you. Matter of fact, the people that are hunting you, the police, we want you to give them their guns. Why don't you expeditious about it and blow your own brains out, you know? So Trump's talking about allowing you to defend yourself. He's talking about letting the black men out of jail that Joe Biden locked up. The black community has more government health care than any other group of people in America, and they have the lowest life expectancy. What is their plan? Let's expand the system. Let's do Obamacare and make everybody, put more people on it. I mean, haven't you killed enough people? See, that's why they hate. Donald Trump is going to keep the illegals out. Because why? They are competing for space in schools, wages, jobs, housing, government services. Some bring in crime and drugs. Trump says, no. We're going to keep them out. And last but not least, Donald Trump is going to stop violating their right to practice their religion the way they see fit. And to also expand that religion, not to themselves, but also to their posterity, like our Constitution says. The Democrats put a barrier between people and their religions. They make it harder for you to do it. They won't let you pray in school, won't let you bring a Bible to work. Now they're trying to keep you from going to church. And this is why you have this dystopia. And so black people are waking up and finding out what's going on, that they have attributed to these people powers that should have only been given to God. And it started in the civil rights movement.
Yeah, God, no, love you. Amen, no, brother.
Yes, yes. My book tells us how it happened. And you can go to my website at irontrianglebook.com. Irontrianglebook.com. It has excerpts from the book. It has blogs that I've written. It has appearances that I've had, but it'll help you understand. And it'll tell you how we can defeat them. And this is how we do it. You want to get to this point? This is what we do.
Hold on before you do that, because that is what I want to focus on after the break. And we do have a little bit of time before the break. So that's the kicker, how we defeat them. Before we get there, and we're talking to Vince Everett Ellison, and I'm just delighted to have you with us. What is it, other than Donald Trump himself, is there an idea that is waking black people up? What is that idea that's getting them to wake up? And what woke you up about what's being done here?
Donald Trump is doing something that no other Republican president has done since Abraham Lincoln. Since Abraham Lincoln went to Richmond in 1865, he's talking to black people straight on. There's an old vaudevillian term. It says 90% of any gig is just showing up. Donald Trump is starting to show up. Uh-huh. Something that the Republicans haven't done in the black community in the past 70 years. They haven't shown up.
Yeah.
But the Democrats have shown up. And they get what? 90% of the vote. Because all they do is show up. But they show up. Donald Trump has started showing up, and as a good salesman, he's going to tell you how what he's selling, how it affects you. It's not general. A good car salesman will look at the car, and he'll see a man with his family, and he'll tell the father about the horsepower and about the dependability. He will tell the mother about the cargo space for her groceries and how comfortable it is and about the air conditioning. Uh-huh. He'll tell the children about how the video's in the back and how the plug ends for their devices and make their traveling much more comfortable. Donald Trump is telling the black community what he's doing for them every chance he gets. And I'm so proud of him for doing it. He'll stand up there and say, I'm going to do school choice for you. I'm going to get you jobs. I'm proud of it. And he'll, and the Democrats have set back. And when he did his State of the Union address, he talked about all the stuff he's doing for the black community, and the Democrats looked like they wanted to just cut his head off.
They were unhappy about it. Exactly. Right.
Everybody saw it. Everybody saw it. Look, this is their plan. The Washington Post put out a poll on June 4th, the story that said that since 1968, there has been no narrowing in the wealth gap between black and white people for over 50 years. The DNC has on its website a Harvard study that says the schools are more segregated today than they were before Brown versus Board of Education. We have 10 times more black men in jail than we had in the 60s. The black family has disintegrated from 80% being born in wedlock to 80% being born out of wedlock because of the man out clause that the Civil Rights Movement and Democrats demanded be put in the Welfare Act. And they're proud of it. Joe Biden said, I am proud of my record in the black community. And every black Democrat is running for reelection. They keep stats on this stuff. They know how terrible these schools are. They know about the crime, but they see it as a success because they get 90% of the vote, and they're not going to change it until we make them.
Well, I love it. I love it. Let me ask you this, so we'll have plenty of time to talk about what we can do to defeat them. So the latest narrative, which in my opinion, and I have a feeling it is in yours, utterly preposterous, that racism is systemic in 2020 America. And it is presented as a fact. It's not presented as an opinion. I'll have you know that Firefox, my server, had something at the bottom that said, we have to do what we can to stop systemic racism, as if it is an absolute fact. Do you believe there's systemic racism in 2020 America? And if you don't, we got 90 seconds. If you don't, what is a white person to do to tell them other than that's preposterous?
If it is systemic, it's coming from the Democrat Party, period, because they control the black community for the last 220 years. And if a black person comes to you and starts talking about black white privilege, you tell them, oh, I did not know I was superior to you. I didn't think I was.
Oh, I
if
love
they
it.
Come to, yes. If they come to you and they start talking about systemic racism, you tell them, you are not going to make me carry your burden. I'm not going to carry it. You have the opportunity to say you're just as good as I am, and if you think you're not, that's your problem. It's not mine.
You're not going to make me carry your what?
You're not going to let me carry your burden.
Your
I'm not
burden.
Carry it.
Yeah. Got it. Got it.
It's up to it's up to you to better yourself, not me. I am not God. That is you and God. Y'all, you pray to your God for that. Am I your God?
Betcha.
You are, and look, and this is what I tell you, you're a slave looking for a master, and I refuse to be your master.
Vince Everett Ellison, I love the guy. He's great. And he's going to be back with us right after this commercial break, and we're going to talk about the last part of that subject. How do we defeat these liberal Democrats who want to keep blacks on the plantation and everyone else? Karen Cataline, you're listening to Spouting Off. We'll be right back. This is Karen Cataline, host and producer of Spouting Off. Got an opinion, a guest suggestion, or a show tip? Follow me on Facebook or Twitter and let me know your thoughts. All you need is to know how to spell my name. It's the same on Twitter, Facebook, and www.karencataline.com. Karen is spelled the normal way, no goofy Y's or Q's, K-A-R-E-N. And Cataline is spelled K-A-T-A-L-I-N-E. Want more Spouting Off? You can find the complete archive of Spouting Off shows at www.karencataline.com. All my op-eds and blog posts are there too. That's www.karencataline.com. Thanks for listening, and if you have a moment, please spread the word about Spouting Off. Welcome back to Spouting Off. We're having so much fun off air, on air, everything. I've always had a soft spot in my heart for Black conservatives because they stand up when they stand up and say, this is what I believe in. I don't care if you like it. And that's what conservatives need to be doing. So we're talking to author Vince Everett Ellison, who wrote the book Iron Triangle, the Liberal Democrat Plan to Use Race, to divide Christians and America in their quest for power and how we can defeat them. First, tell everybody how they can get your book.
You can get my book. Go to my website at irontrianglebook.com. That's irontrianglebook.com. Amazon sells it, but they said that they are sold out right now because so many people are buying it. It's been in the top 10 for the last 3 or 4 weeks on Amazon in this genre. Yeah, it's doing well. And I'm getting great letters from people. One guy said that he took my book to a Antifa meeting and used it to shut it down. White guy said he shut down an Antifa meeting. This pastor called me and said that this book was prophetic. He said because it's the anti-Black Lives Matter book. My book is completely the opposite of what they stand for in every way. And this is how you can shut them down also.
I love it. Well, and Black Lives Matter, being a Jewish person, is anti-Semitic. It's socialist / communist. And the money that people are giving to Black Lives Matter is ending up in the coffers of the Democrat Party. So I don't know how that helps. Yeah.
Well, this is why we must tell our conservative friends to support endeavors like this one, because the left is supporting theirs. Black Lives Matter has hundreds of millions of dollars now, hundreds of millions. So when you find an opportunity to support somebody like me who's stepping out there and who there's some serious pressure to conform inside the Black community, and they come down on you hard. And a lot of times when we come out, a lot of our conservative friends won't protect us, and that's why so many Black people are afraid to come out, because you're left exposed, and they will destroy you and your family. So I'm out fighting, but I ain't scared of nobody, you know? So I'm asking all of your listeners, I'm going if I have to go by myself. But it'd be great if I had some of my friends support me, and this is the easy way that people can do it.
Well, I support you, and I stand with you in every way, because, we're going to lose this country if we don't stand up. And what I see is that what the hard left, which controls the Democrat Party now, has been doing to the Black community for decades, they are now trying to do to all of us. If we want to see, if we want to see what the Democrats are capable of, they have now expanded their miserable, rotten policies that are socialist, dictatorial, authoritarian stuff, so that we can all be like the Black community in Detroit and Philadelphia. Yeah. They control all of that, and that's what they do to everything, including my beloved city of Denver, which is now being controlled by the left. They want safe injection sites, and basically they want to turn us all into Detroit. It's devastating and it's terrifying, and we all should be concerned.
They have the reverse Midas touch, and they use Black pain for white liberal gain. That's what they do. But look, listen, understand that they will never be satisfied. They always move the goalposts. Martin Luther King Jr. said it. He said they asked us when we will be satisfied. He said, we will not be satisfied until justice rolls down like water and righteousness like a mighty stream. That's just a fancy way of saying never. They are never going to be satisfied. They are a cancer. They will take and take and take and take until the host is dead. And that's what they want. They see blight as success. They see the nuclear family, a man and a woman married with children. They vomit. They hate it. Yeah. They no longer understand grace and beauty. They love the vile and the grotesque. Look at some of their the shows they have on TV. Their award shows and whatnot. It looks like a freak show. It's Jerry Springer. All the time, this is what they love. And if they see a church, they say, oh, my God, this is terrible. They will never be satisfied. Never.
No, because it's a means to an end. You're just wonderful. So let's focus on how do we defeat these people? What do we need? What do we got to do, Vince? What do we got to do?
Well, 85% of black people profess to be Christian. 75% of white people do. But most white Christians vote conservative. Most black Christians vote liberal. Now, that's interesting because when you pray the same God, what has happened? The liberals have been whispering in the black people's ear for the last 60 years since they took over the civil rights movement. Martin Luther King Jr. told us in the March on Washington that we are not free. He said 100 years after the Emancipation Proclamation, the Negro is still not free. That's not true. Our freedom comes from God, is irrevocable, non-transferable. He said our unalienable rights, we come to government for it. No. Our unalienable rights come from God. They're irrevocable, non-transferable. We simply have to remind the black community who they are and whose they are. If you are a Christian, you cannot be a victim. See, Satan has been whispering in that ear that you're a victim, you're despised, you can't make it, you're helpless. All of these are against the tenets of God. Whether you Jewish, Muslim, or Christian, those are lies if you believe your religion. We have to remind them that Jesus says you are more than a conqueror. I know who I am, and I know who protects me. They can't. I walk in my house hard because I own it. I do the same thing in my country because I own it. I know I'm an American, but they tell these people they are not American, so they walk around this country afraid. They must understand. We have to do it. We can't wait for the government to do it. The Republicans are not going to do it, and the Democrats are not going to do it. It is our responsibility as Christians, as Muslims, as Jews, and as citizens to go to those ghettos and talk to our people and say, hey, and my book tells you how to do it. That's why it's a primer for conservatives to talk to these people that are in these areas. Because that's what I do every single day. Remind them who they are. Remind them that they're a child of God, an heir of Jesus Christ. When they say they are Christian, they belong to you. Mm. You're a Christian, but you're asking man to affirm you. You're asking Christian. You're a Christian, and you have to give charity and love and forbearance. And you talking about no justice, no peace, and you're burning things. You're a Christian, and you're talking about you want reparations and you want vengeance, and you need a comeuppance. That's not us. And then you let your light shine. So when people see people like me and you as Christians talking, loving, treating one another with respect, they'll say, that's what I want to be. The one thing that makes me no longer want to be part of the quote-unquote black church, because the black church does not exist, is that I had many white ministers coming to me asking about racial reconciliation. How do we do it? Crying about it. But I never heard a black preacher say it to me one time. They want the black population exactly where they are so they can control them for the Democratic Party. Most of them have become an apostate ministry. And when you find a real preacher, he'll sit down and tell you. My father told me before I got involved in politics, he said, boy, trust a bootlegger before you trust a black preacher. They are Christian ministers that take money from the abortion industry. They take money from the LGBTQ. If that's your thing, that's your thing. But the Christian church, the pastor is supposed to be mandated to not support such things, period. But he supports politicians that support it. He supports Democrats that are making it illegal for children to pray in school, illegal for you to bring a Bible to your job. They're supposed to be expanding the freedom of religion so you can pray to Jesus anywhere, anytime. They are supporting a dystopia, they are making money off of it. And what does our Bible tell us? You know a tree by the fruit it bears. Jesus, they said, how will we know the wolves in sheep's clothing, Jesus? He said, look at their fruits. He said, so you cannot get good fruit from a rotten tree, and they're rotten to the core.
Vince, is there a large group of blacks who say that Christianity is a white man's religion? Because it's true. I see most blacks are Christian or Baptist or whatever, but is there a growing population of people who are rejecting Christianity because of that, or am I? I don't know.
I have not seen it.
I haven't either.
That's kind of a relic of the 60s and the 70s. Most black Christians have kind of let that go because we are in a time of information now where we all know that the color of Jesus Christ's skin did not matter. Whether he was black as me or tan or white is irrelevant. All we care about is whether or not his blood was red.
Vince, if the color of Jesus didn't matter, then why should the color of you and I matter? I mean, what it concerns me, of course not. And what concerns me so much is that the most beautiful and the most healing of ideas is to have a colorblind society where you are known by you as an individual. You are so much more than your skin color. It's what you've done with your life, what you're doing, and how you behave. And that's getting lost in all of this race-baiting stuff, right?
With that society, the Democrat Party ceases to exist. If racism did not exist, they would have to create it.
Yep,
They lie about it.
Yeah.
Because they know Jesus Christ's last prayer before he went to the cross was a prayer of unity. He knew how Satan was going to come at us. And he knew that they were going to put black people in the trick bag. I mean, you know, Dr. Martin Luther King was trying to integrate a hotel one time when the police came to pick him up. He said, they said, what do you want? I only have about a minute, so I have
to have you wrap this up. I'm so sorry, but I'll have you back, and I'll have you on a couple of the other shows that I host as well, because, you know, your voice and your message needs to be heard. I apologize for having to interrupt you, because I love your passion. That's what's missing. People are downtrodden. They really are. I'm devastated about what's happening to our country. We need folks like you to give us a shot in the arm.
We also need you. We need you. Thank you.
We'll chat and we'll get together. Tell everybody how they get your book, because I got to wrap up the show real quick.
Okay, irontrianglebook.com. Go to Barnes & Noble. Go to Walmart. Go to Target. They all have it online. But go to my website. Thank you very much.
Beautiful. Vince Everett Ellison. We'll hear from him again. I'm going to tell my friends about him too. What a cool couple of guests that we had. Thank you very much to Doug and BBS Radio for producing Spouting Off. Please go to my website, www.karencataline.com. The podcast of this show will be up shortly. You can go to Facebook, Twitter. Thank you to HW, the multi-talented guy with an IQ greater than that of a small soap dish. And tune in next week when there will be oh so much more to spout off about here on Spouting Off.